Ella, what's that on your face?
It's ash from the fireplace.
Do clean yourself up.
You'll get cinders in our tea.
I've got a new name for her. Cinder Wench.
I didn't dare to look so dirty.
Oh, dirty Ella. Cinderella. That's what we'll call you.
Oh, girls, you're too clever. Who's this for? Is there someone we've forgotten?
It's my place.
Oh, it seems too much to expect you to prepare breakfast, serve it, and still sit with us. Wouldn't you prefer to eat when all the work is done, Ella? Or should I say Cinderella?
Hi, everybody. This has been a 007 back for another movie review, but today it's not spoiler-free because we're discussing the latest live-action Disney movie of Cinderella, which frankly has absolutely zero revisionist charm about it. It's a very earnest, very straightforward, old-fashioned kind of a fairy tale, and it rather makes me wonder why they bothered remaking the animated classic when there's literally no further political insight to be had for waiting 50 years to do so. The movie is very straightforward. The first half an hour of it basically fleshes out the Cinderella backstory. So we meet the young Ella, who is much beloved of her parents, played by a newly blonde Hayley Atwell, aka Agent Carter, for all of you Marvel TV fans, and Ben Chaplin as the father. And they live in this absolutely idyllic, sun-kissed, dappled world of lovely little animals running around the yard, and Ella just being taught the famous slogan of this film, that all a young lady needs in life is to have courage and to be kind. This is put to the test in the second half hour of the film, where the lovely, wonderful mother dies, and as we all know, Cinderella's father marries again the evil, wicked stepmother, played with delicious 1940s film star glamour by Cate Blanchett, who actually adds some nuance to this role. It's not just that she's chomping up the scenery in a very larger-than-life and hammy performance. Actually, she's giving some kind of, if not sympathy, but depth to the performance of a woman who's living in a time when to lose your husband is to lose all financial security. So she remarries Cinderella's father and brings with her the two ugly stepsisters, except in this iteration they're not so much ugly as hideously overdressed and ugly on the inside. After all, we do live in a modern world. And they are played by Holiday Granger, aka Lucretia Borgia from TV, and Sophie McShearer, who you'll probably know from Downton Abbey. It's not very long before poor Cinderella's father has died and she's reduced to the drudge of the house. And it's a very literal-minded tale. You do see her literally sleeping among the cinders. It's incredibly faithful to the original fairy tale. But, you know, the fateful meeting happens halfway through this film. She meets Prince Charming in the woods, played by Richard Madden of Game of Thrones fame, and they instantly hit it off. And although the film tries to inject something a little feisty in the way that Cinderella is against hunting the poor stag and gives the prince, who she believes is but a humble apprentice, a little bit of a ticking off. Ultimately, this is just the classic fairy tale meet cute, where they meet instantly, fall in love, and then off they ride respectively to their homes. We then are whisked with almost intemperate pace to the famous ball scene via the fairy godmother, played by Helena Bonham Carter, who really is just absolutely 100% in full camp mode in this wonderful, almost Mommy Dearest kind of like wig of a Hollywood starlet of the 1950s. And yes, Cinderella does go to the ball in what has now become a famous dress. Many commentators have adversely commented on the waistline of Lily James, again from Downton Abbey, who is really beautiful and I don't think has a waistline any more unrealistic than many other Hollywood starlets, but there we are. She goes to the ball, she pretends to be a princess, she meets Prince Charming, he is still in love with her, and of course, as we all know, she has to run back very quickly as the bell strikes midnight. But what I think might be a little bit different in this telling is as we reach the final half hour of this film, almost immediately the wicked stepmother realizes that Cinderella has something to hide because she simply can't hide her exuberance and joy at the events of that evening And so as we move to the part of the story where all the maidens of the land have to try on the glass slipper, yes, of course, the evil stepmother has an advance warning on this and almost but not quite prevents the fateful meeting from happening. And of course, yet again, Disney do try to add something maybe a little more meaningful, because there's this whole kind of fairy godmother voiceover which says, and this is the most sort of courageous moment of Cinderella's life, because she has to present herself as she truly is to her prince, in other words, as a simple country girl with no dowry and with no prospects, and see if he will marry her anyway. I don't think any of us think that we're entering into suddenly some realist, pragmatist ending to this tale. And so all ends happily for the beautiful and fair and good and courageous and kind young couple. So that's the film, no surprises. But I think it is kind of curious that when Disney is presenting this film to us, it follows a short film, as is its wont, and the short film is taken from the world of Frozen, which has been celebrated as the movie that broke the princess tale, the movie that wasn't about waiting for a handsome young prince to rescue you, but finding your heroism yourself, accepting yourself for who you are, and that actually a sibling relationship can be stronger, that love doesn't have to be the meet cute and the fairy tale marriage. And it was about two women who were very active in pursuing their fate. And you contrast that with this version of Cinderella, the movie that is so unbelievably passive. And I think that's my key takeaway from this version of Cinderella, that it's a movie that makes a virtue out of passivity. So Cinderella is taught to be courageous, but not to be active. And she's also taught, in a sense, to be delusional. We're taught to believe that her greatest virtue is not in seeing reality as it is, staring it squarely in the face and taking action to resolve it, but in her imagination, that she will sit back in a room high in her attic in the castle and sing a pretty song, rather than actually open the door to her attic, go downstairs and meet the prince who's come for her. It's the most passive tale of heroism that I have seen since reading Mansfield Park by Jane Austen in school. And I remember even then, and this was some time ago, it was very challenging for girls reading that book to sympathise with Fanny, who is the heroine of Mansfield Park, because we felt her to be so passive. And of course, Jane Austen in that novel is making a great point about Christian suffering. But in this movie, shorn of that religious aspect, Cinderella just becomes effectively a rather feckless and delusional woman. And it's hard to believe that she deserves this happy fate, because she literally, but literally, does nothing to deserve it. It's all very odd. So I really do wonder about this film. I wonder about the message it's sending children and whether parents who are progressive will really want to take their children to see it. Evidently they do, because it's taken a lot of money at the box office. But I find that, on the one hand, should I be happy that people, even in this very cynical postmodern age, have a fondness for the very straightforward, traditional and earnest fairy tale? The kind of fairy tale that I grew up on, and I'm not sure it did me any harm in the long run. Or should we be nervous? Should we be nervous about this kind of insidious, conservative, counterculture? I don't know how to describe it. At any rate, I think this is a deeply uninteresting, if fantastically beautiful movie, and the costumes really do deserve an Oscar. They are just stunning. But other than that, you can let it wash over you in a beautifully warm bath, but there's very little meat or substance in this film that is worthy of our attention. And actually, the version of Cinderella that remains my favourite is the one called Ever After. And Ever After was made in 1998. It stars Drew Barrymore as Daniela, and it has Angelica Houston as the wicked stepmother, and Dougray Scott as the Prince Charming figure. And it was directed by Andy Tennant, who also did Hitch and not very much else. But I thought it was a wonderful film, because you actually had Cinderella as a sort of Renaissance woman hanging out with Leonardo da Vinci and reading Utopia and rescuing her Prince Charming. And, you know, fighting for liberal enlightenment causes, which all sounds incredibly heavy and boring, but it still managed to retain all that wonderful fairy tale beauty of the transformation scene and the beautiful gown and the ball. So it evidently is possible to do Cinderella in a way that retains all the fairy tale magic but still has some kind of acknowledgement that girls can take their fate in their own hands. I guess it's just a shame that, you know, nearly 20 years later with this Cinderella, we haven't come any further. But one cannot condemn Cinderella. I guess it's achieved what Kenneth Branagh wanted it to achieve. He wanted a traditional Cinderella, and this is it. But frankly, I'm just not sure if it was all worth the candle. So I'm sure many of you have seen Cinderella and may or may not agree with my take, and feel free to leave a comment on the blog, but I'm almost more interested in if your parents, whether you were put off by its political message, especially if you had little girls. At any rate, the movie is now on global release. It has a running time of 105 minutes and is rated PG. There is absolutely nothing of harm in this film. Thank you for listening.